Okay, about to embark upon a brand new sugya. So following along the lines of everything we know about Birchas Hanehanin, so a person recites a bracha of Hamotzi, so that's usually pretty good to go. Hamotzi will 9 out of 10 times pati you from all subsequent brachas. Now we already know some of those exceptions. We know about the Dvarim Abayim Shalom Achmas Asuda. We know things about the Yachar Asuda. We know a little bit about Yayin. But by and large, the rule is you make a bracha, so the Hamotzi is going to remain intact. So comes the Gemara now, introduces us to the possibility where although the meal is not totally completely over, the bracha of Hamotzi may become, in effect, no longer active. And that's going to necessitate something. We're not sure what that means, what is going to make that bracha no longer active, and what is the deactivization, whatever that word is, of the bracha. What is that going to impact in terms of his bracha? So the sugya begins in Nachman Beis Amid Aleph by telling us a story. Rav Papa, it's first in my Mekarim, Rav Papa Ikla Be'er Rav Huna Breid Rav Nelson. Basad Degama Sudasayu, they finished the meal. What does that mean, they finished the meal? They finished the meal, sure. It means they stopped eating. That's what it sounds like. They're sitting around shmoozing. Ais l'kama amidi l'mechel. And they brought something else to eat in front of them. Shaka Rapapa kachil. And Rapapa began to eat whatever they brought him a little bit for food. Amrilay, so they said to Rapapa, they were startled by his behavior. Lo sabal amar gomar osi bilechol. Don't you hold that once you finish the meal, so the game is over, and you can't just continue to eat just like that. But what exactly were they bothering Rav Papa about? Well, we never heard of this. The person recited the bracha of Hamotzi. It's presumably a type of a food that should have been covered by the Hamotzi. He didn't bench yet. If he benches, I understand that the meal is over. We have to start over again. So here the Gemara is being mechadished to us with this question. The other Amorim were present. They'd be able to question Rav Papa and say, wait a second. There was a new halacha here we never heard of. Gomer, once the meal is over, asum alecho, you're not allowed to eat anymore. Now, we do not even know how to translate that phrase. That phrase, goma osu lechol, may mean one of two things. It may mean, osu lechol, you're not allowed to eat. Or it may mean, osu lechol, what? Without reciting a new bracha. So let's take the second approach, which is actually the view of most of the Rishonim. That's the second half of our sugya. Let's use that approach, at least for our purposes now. So they jumped in Rapapa and said, Rapapa, what are you doing? Goma osu lechol, you have to make a new bracha. What do you have to make a new bracha for? So what's the Gemara be mechadish to us? The Kabbalah Gemara? That the original bracha has just ended. Normally we think a bracha remains intact until Birchas Hamazon. That we know once you bench, you have to start over again. Kamash v'lo nechidish, even though you didn't quite bench, Gama melecho is also a way of ending the validity of the bracha, and you want to eat again, because you have to make a new bracha. So Rav Papa did not deny the existence of this halacha. Rav Papa just said that you misunderstood, you misapplied the parameters of this halacha. Rav Papa said, Amalu silek itmar. What it means is, not that you just simply stopped eating, you finished the meal. Something else must occur in order for this halacha to kick in. You have to misalik. What does misalik mean? Remember we spoke a little bit about this? You have to take the tables away. In the olden days, they would move the tables out. Like the Hamish Shechasas, you know, like in the middle of the first dance, they're ready to move the tables out. So here, you're rolling the tables out. That's the Gemara Hasuda. So Rav Papa is saying back to his colleagues who are joining him at the meal, the fundamental din is correct, that once a meal ends, so then the bracha remains, the bracha no longer remains intact. But you thought that simply ending the meal was good enough. It has to be a much more formal than that, a physical action of Silek Itmar. Then the Gemara continues. Rabbi of Rabbi Zeir iklu lebeirish galusa, lebasa the sliko tachem ikamayu. So they were once eating together by the Reish Galusa. Who's the Reish Galusa? He was the political leader of the Jewish people. He still gets a mishaberach every Shabbos, right? Every Shabbos we say in the Yikum Perkon the Reish Galvasa, right? We haven't seen one in 1,200 years, but he's still. It's very hard to change Minhagim, so he still gets Yishkoich every Shabbos. So they arrived at the Reish Galusa's house, and they were eating a meal. Lebosot Sligo Tachem Mikamayu, and they Taka took the table away. So now it sounds like, according to all opinions, the din should kick in. And then all of a sudden, Shanulu Ristinah Mebei Reish Galusa. All of a sudden, they brought in some food, Ristinah, from the Bei Reish Galusa. What is Ristinah? A Mister Ashein. Okay, in case you're checking up on your old French. So it's a Rishtashoyim. And what is a Rishtashoyim? So on the bottom, they fill you in with a very important piece of information. Mone, a piece of food. Thank you very much. Okay, good. So they brought some kind of a food. And what happened at this point? Rava ochel, Rabbi Zeilu ochel. Rava ate the food. And presumably, what did he not do? Didn't make a bracha. And Rabbi Zeilu didn't eat the food. Now, we're not sure, what do you do? Why didn't he eat the food? He just should have made a what? Rebecha, that's a big problem. So we're going to get to that, hopefully, as the sugya develops. So Amalei, so Rabbi Zeira said to Rava, don't you follow at least the version that Silik is a problem? Some of the Amoraim thought even Goma, which is the earlier stage, or just simply deciding you're not going to eat anymore, even that's considered to be a Gemara Suda. So Rava said to, Rabbi Zeira said to Rava, at least Chach Silik, they took the table away. So it's like, no, I'm like, I'm not talking to Reish Galusa. They didn't take a Reish Galusa's table, they took away our table, and we are guests in the Reish Galusa's house, and therefore, we're not deciding when the meal is over. The Reish Galusa's deciding when the meal is over. So Kol's bond that his table is still intact, we may still get some dessert. I don't mean dessert, like, we may get another piece of kugel. Oh, come to kugel for the Simchas Chasmakal at the end, so we're going to get a piece of kugel for the Reish Galusa's house. And that's kachahava. That's exactly what happened, that the Reish Galusa said from his table, the extra kugel and sesame chicken that was left over. So therefore, Rabbi said, it's not called halacha in the Gemara Suda for us. So again, the Gemara is not backed out from this fundamental yisoy that there's a principle called Gemara Suda. The Gemara is just questioning at what point it happens. So Goma, no, but Silek, yeah, but even Silek depends on who exactly they were misalik from. Then the Gemara continues. Amar Rav. So this is probably an example of the printers who didn't know that the sugya hasn't ended yet. What did they do? They put in two dots. Some Grisha printer back in Venice in Italy or sometime, they decide there are two dots supposed to be put there. There are no two dots there. Amar Rav. Harano b'shem and shem ma'akvo. Rav adds to the sugya, and he says that, let's say a person basically finished a meal, but hasn't yet smeared oil on his hands. Now that was a practice in some places that they would take some nice oil right before benching, and they would, rub the oil in it. Why did they do that? Because the hands tend to smell at the end of the meal. Why did the hands smell? Because they ate with the hands, right? They didn't have too many utensils back in the good old days. So they used their hands. So we know there's some place that still use their hands. Why? Because they're very machmir on what rule? Minhag HaVaseinu B'Yadeinu. Our forefathers ate with their hands, we eat with their hands also. Minhag HaVaseinu B'Yadeinu. So the practice used to be in some places that people would rub oil on the hands right before benching. So Rav says, Kozman, that the oil hasn't been rubbed on. Harugel b'shemen shema akvay. So then the lack of the shemen means that the meal hasn't ended. And since the meal hasn't ended, so then you're not mechuyev to make a new bracha. Am Rav Ashi, ki avidem beref kahana amalon kion anan derigilina bevishcha mishcha ma'akvalon. So Rav Ashi was hundreds of years after Rav. So he supported this practice of the early Amoraim of Rav, that the lack of shemen in a place where shemen is the norm, that's going to make a break when the meal is over. So we have this whole basic halacha that we don't exactly know where it came from, but all the Amoraim seem to be buying into, with slight nuances of gradations, what's called the Gemara Suda. Either the first Amoraim thought it was just Gemara itself, then Silek, then depending on who's Silek, depending on the oil, a lot of factors. And finally, the Gemara says that the bottom line is V'leisich Zecho HaNishmaisei, that the whole thing is wrong. Now, when the Gemara says the whole thing is wrong, the Gemara doesn't say the whole din is wrong. The basic din is agreed upon by everybody. But all those criteria as to what constitutes the Sof HaSuda were actually incorrect lahalacha. What is the only thing that matters? There were three areas of halacha where you have to do one thing and then immediately follow up with something else. That's what techef means, to do it right away. Techef l'smicha shchita. Yeah, this has nothing to do with Hilchos Brachos. It's a nice halacha we should be aware of. when you do smichas akabonis, maybe you're going to mikdash, you're going to do smichas akabonis, so right after the smicha, you have to shchita right away. You can't have a hefsek between the smicha and the shchita. And then din number two is v'tech v'gula tefila. Is the din of being somech gula tefila. When you davish b'nesu, you have to say gol yisrael, and then immediately you have to go into shmanes, right? And the third is tech v'til sedayim baracha. As soon as you wash your hands, you recite the bracha. What bracha? So tech v'til sedayim bracha means that once you wash your hands, which hands? Not before the meal. We're talking about the end of the meal. The Gemara here is clearly applying this to Mayim Acharonim. As soon as you finish washing Mayim Acharonim, you bench right away. You shouldn't have a break between the two. So what does the Gemara mean by invoking that image of Techev Natil Sedayim Baracha? So just as when you wash Mayim Acharonim, you have to bench right away. Therefore, it makes sense that Mayim Acharonim is the Gemara Hasuda. That takah makes sense. All these other early stages, Sile, Gomar, move the tables, Yedim, Shedim, Shemin, Maisler, none of this really qualifies as Gemara Hasuda. If you want to know what's the emes of Gemara Hasuda, is Mayim Acharonim. Because the din is, Techel Tisdaim Bracha, it's as if you basically start to bench. If you would really bench, we know for a fact that's the Gemara Suda. So the Chiddush is that Tilsi Daim is also like a shtickle Gemara Suda, and then all the above halachas kick in. So that's how the Gemara finally concludes the halacha. All the other details were not correct. The Yesod is correct. The details were incorrect. This is the only detail that actually carries the day. The Tilsi Daim Mayim Acharonim. Ad Kan Divrei Gemara. Have a question? Oh, there's a question.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I do.
Okay, what up?
It's like also to talk between like Shmuel Esrei, Gula and Shmuel Esrei and stuff. So like, wouldn't it make more sense? And now we're saying it's usher to eat, not the afternoon to eat.
Okay, we got a long way to go to figure out how comparable these three kifas are and what the significance of that statement that you made was. So that's a loaded controversial statement that you said. Okay, we're getting there. A long way. So before we move on, just to analyze this din in the Gemara, and particularly how it relates to a parallel sugya with Sefer Pesachim, let's just familiarize ourselves with just some of the details here. The Gemara is putting Mayim Acharonim on a big pedestal and saying, this is really, really important. This is so important. This is what's going to make or break the Gemara Hasuda. The assumption of the Gemara is, obviously, you are washing Mayim Acharonim. Unlike what the Gemara said before about Shemen, when it came to Shemen, the Gemara says, if you are from a place where they use oil on the hands, that's great. And if you happen not to be, that's also cool. The Gemara's not talking, the Gemara's not saying for or against the using of oil. But Mayim Acharonim, that's the key, that's for sure. And that's exactly what the Gemara says in Maseches Chulin. Mayim Acharonim Chayva. Mayim Acharonim is not a reshus. Mayim Acharonim is a Chayva. It's an absolute, complete, total obligation to wash Mayim Acharonim. Why? Why is it so important to wash Mayim Acharonim? So there are two different reasons that seem to appear. One of them appears in the Gemara explicitly, and one is seems to be alluded to in the Taras Kohanim. In the Gemara itself, so the Gemara spells out in Maseches Chulin, why in the world do Chazal say you have to wash Mayim Acharonim? So the Gemara says, Mishum Melech Sedomis, because they used to preserve food in salt in the old days before there was a refrigeration. So the only way to preserve anything was through salting. And who was here with us, Chulin? Remember? A couple of guys with Chulin days. So remember, we spoke a lot about this, about the, you know, Nechamachas Milcho, right? Remember, Malik Kereseach, because he used to salt the meat, right? We spoke
sailors.
A lot of...
What?
The sailors, the hardtack, right? The sailors, right. So in the olden days, the food was very, very salty. So they used to use sometimes, if you live in Niestom, I guess you would use Melch Sedomis, so it was pretty strong the salt. So the problem was is that your hands are going to have all the salt on them, and again, no one's eating with utensils, so it's going to be a little bit unhealthy. You're going to take the salt and you put it into your eyes, and everyone says that's not so healthy for your eyes. So therefore, Chazal said, Mishum Sakana, Mishum Rufua, just to make sure people don't get hurt. So they instituted this idea that you're supposed to wash Mayim Acharonim. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that was the reason. That was the reason, the only reason, no other reason. So the Taras Kohanim comments on the Pasuk So that refers to Mayim Rishonim and refers to Mayim Acharonim. And some of that's considered to be like an expression of Kedusha, that the Nikias, like Mesilas Yesharim, Nikias, brings the Kedusha, Letar, the Kedusha. That's a good thing. Cleanliness is, what's the phrase? Godliness or something? Is that the phrase they use? something like that, no? So cleanliness is a good thing, right? We advocate being clean and washing oneself. That's a very good hygiene. It's a very, very important thing. It wasn't all that practiced very well in the ancient world. The minhag ha'olam was not to shower, not to bathe too often. It was a chiddush that Jews would bathe every Shabbos, because the din, Mishum Kavod Shabbos, you're supposed to wash yourself with hot water on Erev Shabbos. That was already a chiddush. People who weren't so machpid on Kavod Shabbos, so I'm not talking about like the yeshivish are missing a shower or two once in every other night. I'm talking about, you're talking about months, years. So we're talking about like a long period of time. Okay, anyway. Back to our story. So the Torah's Kodim seems to say that there's an idea of keeping his hands clean, Alts Kedusha, and therefore when you start the meal, before you bench, all these different times, you should have a Mayim should be Kedusha, your hands, your Daim should be Kedusha. So that's the idea of Mayim Achronim. That seems to give off a different impression as to why we're washing Mayim Achronim. So these two reasons led to a major dispute in the Rishonim. How does this play out, this Manazem? So there are some Rishonim who have the opinion that you do not have to wash Mayim Achronim anymore. The entire din doesn't apply, because the din was only instituted mishum sakona, and the sakona doesn't exist anymore. We don't have melech sedomos. Most of us in Europe are not washing, preserving our meat with the melech sedomos anymore, and therefore the whole din doesn't apply. So that was one approach in the Gedolei Rishonim. So there are others who took issue with that. For one of two possibilities, you could take issue with that. You could argue with that mitam mitzias. You could argue that in terms of halacha. You can say that it's true we may not have melech sedomos, but we have other kinds of salt. So maybe the melech of Poland, maybe that's also dangerous to the eyes. So lav dafka melech sedoma should be taken so literally. That's one possible refutation of that argument. Another possible refutation of that argument of the Mekilim is that who says that we have a right just to cancel Din D'Rabbanan, just like that? A Din D'Rabbanan was instituted, called Mayim Acharonim, and now we're going to say, easy come, easy go. So if we don't have melech sedomos, then it ceases to exist. So that was a loaded discussion, part of a very, very global discussion, when Chazal instituted certain things. At what point do we say that they were absolute low plugs? And at what point do we say that there may have been certain chilukim, even within the takonas themselves, there were certain exceptions to the rule?
What heard Moshe a couple months ago that once the mitzvah changes, then it's not changing the Torah anymore?
Well, that's a different one. That's not a changing of takonas chum. That's actually an application of a din deraisa. So that's actually easier to change sometimes. All that means is that, let's say, there's an area of halacha called Shulei Kederech. And Shulei Kederech impacts the Shabbos and other areas of halacha. So if the Derech and the Shulei Kederech changes, so then the halacha didn't change, just the Metzius changed. Here, we have a Takanas Chum that was instituted. So it was some Beis Din back 2,500 years ago that sat around and said, you know what, this is bad. People are ending up with problems with their eyes. So we're going to make a Takana called Mayim Acharonim. So now, I live in 2024, and most of my food doesn't have such salt on it. It's got a lot of other chazarai on it, but it doesn't have salt on it. So I'm eating my sesame chicken, I'm eating my with my hands, and I'm eating my sushi with my hands, but I don't see any melech sedomos floating around. So can't you just take that very cavalier attitude and say that, well, the takana was made, it doesn't apply to me, so therefore the whole thing doesn't apply. So there's a big discussion in the poskim, which revolves around the following nekuda. It could be that there were certain takonas that were made by Chazal that they were only made in certain locations. Even bizmana takona, they were never made across the board. So when Chazal instituted Mayim Acharonim, assuming that whole reason is Mishum Melech Sedomos, not everyone agrees, maybe there's the other reason also. But even if you take the Gemara's reason as being the only reason for Mayim Acharonim, one could argue that when that original takona was practiced by Chazal, it was made in places where they had problems with melech sedomos. Means if you live in a place that there never was melech sedomos, that even bizman chazal, there never was such a takana. If that is the case, so then it's not that we're mevatel the takanas chazal. We are just simply assessing that our communities are not close enough to Sodom. So it could be even bizman chazal, maybe only places that had the issue have the issue, places that didn't. So maybe our places don't have it anymore. So we already have, there's a precedent for this in another takanas chacham. The Gemara speaks in Maseches Avodah Zarah about drinks that are megulin, about giloy. The Gemara says explicitly that if you have wine or water, any kind of drinks that were left exposed, they were left out and they were left uncovered, so you're not permitted to drink those drinks. Why is that? Because we're afraid that the snakes may have gotten into them, maybe it's poisonous. Why do I need a takhanas chachamim to tell me that I can't do it? I need a takhanas chachamim to tell me I'm not allowed to do unhealthy activities? What do I need a takhanas chachamim for that? That's a pasuk in Chumash, from the Shemat Moshe Seichem. The Gemara says in the fifth parak of Brachas that if you do things that are dangerous, that's also in the Torah. So you're mechuyev to be shomer your guf as well as your nefesh. So why do I need a takanas chacham to tell me manushach? If it's dangerous, so it's also. If it's not dangerous, so what does Chazal say it's also? So obviously, what the Gemara is telling us is that you have certain activities that don't meet the standard of being Torah violations of nishmat v'nefesh seichel. It means not every single thing that's quote-unquote dangerous is automatically also. A lot of things are dangerous. Walking in the street is dangerous. Driving a car is dangerous. Flying on a plane, a lot of things that are dangerous. But there has to be some kind of a point where we don't have to be cheshish for that danger. So where do you draw the line? What's called that point? That's a very, very loaded question. At what point do you say that certain activities, even though there's a very, very minuscule risk, at what point do you say they're still also? At what point do you say that now they become mutter? So it could be that when you're in this kind of like a gray area, that we can't say that it's also been a Torah to do the following. It may not be the smartest thing to do, but it's hard to say that it's an issa deraisa to do X, Y, and Z. So sometimes Chazal stepped up to the plate and said, it's true that according to the absolute, you know, Torah dikka definition, it's probably, we can't say it's also, but mid the Rabbanan, we're going to make, you know, we don't like it, we think it's really, really bad idea. We think it's dangerous, the doctor told us it's not a good idea, and therefore we're going to make a formal Tchanas Chacham to say that it's also. So that's what sounds like happened in the area of Gilui. If it would have been a real emissa danger, that it would have been like jumping out of a plane without a parachute, I don't need Chazal to make a takana not to do that. He said, let's move on, Me'elah, you're not allowed to do that. So if it would have been such a zad danger to drink uncovered wine, I don't need Chazal to make the takana. From the fact they made the takana, it sounds like it wasn't absolutely, I also made that fine. But it could be that that original takana of Giloy was only made when places where there were snakes. Let's say there are no snakes. Let's say I live in Antarctica. So there are penguins in Antarctica. The penguins aren't poisonous. So I don't have to worry about the leftover wine. It's probably going to freeze over anyway. I don't have to worry about the left out wine. So it could be that the original takhana was that if you live in a place where there are snakes, then the Isra applies. If you live in a place where there are no snakes, then it's okay. So that's what we shed him right. Because most of our cities don't have snakes. You know, some people live out on the farm. Most people live in the village, live in towns. So they wouldn't have snakes jumping all over the place. So therefore, for us, we're like those places that were never mechal the tekona in the first place. So it's not the pshat that we're being mevatel the tekona. We're just saying that l'didon, we are no worse than the original places that never had the tekona altogether. So that's what we are knowing. But by Gili, most people don't follow that. From the Gom is machbid, like those who say Gili applies in Bizman Hashem. But most of us are not so machbid. If you, say, you leave a cup of, you pour yourself a cup of soda, you put it in your room, you go downstairs, come back 5 minutes later, you don't drink the soda because there was a snake. Most of us will drink the soda. So most of us are not so machbid on Gili. I remember a couple of summers ago, so in Beit Meir, so we had a snake in our place we were staying. So I was ma'ira that maybe there should be a problem of Gili. No one else seemed to. Everyone else is more interested in getting rid of the snake than having a shtickle terror about. Okay, anyway, yeah. On the Upper West Side, there are no snakes, right? A lot of other crazy things.
Don't we hold for Havdol and Kiddush?
That's another thing. So Be'ikra Din, even that's really okay. Be'ikra Din. We're not really. The Gemara says that there's man, but there's a real list of Gilui, so then you can't make Kiddush on Yayin Magula. So some have a practice today not to use Yayin for Kiddush with Magula. Yeah.
About
drinking. Remember? Wait. So we have a Gemara that says before you have to wash from Macharonim. It's such an integral part of the Suda that it is the Gemara Suda in Brachas Daf Mem Beis. And then all of a sudden you have some Rishonim who are saying, nah, you don't really have to wash from Macharonim. So those who are saying you don't have to, because they're quoted that Gemara in Chulin. So those who were Machmir are responding back and saying, what do you mean? So first of all, maybe there's Melech Sodomus, other kinds of Melech today. And maybe even if there's no Melech Sodomus, maybe it was Tachanas Chacham, was Allah Plug. And then others say, what about Tars Kadam? Tars Kadam seems to say, there's another reason. So even if there's no Melech Sodomus today, Kedusha is still important today. We want to be holy people today, we want to fulfill Visam Kadeshim. So there are yesh v'yesh, there are different practices and different communities about washing my Mecharonim. So some people follow the view of the Balei Tosfos that there's no need to wash Rav Mecharonim Bechlav Bezman Hazeh. And there are many others who are Machmir, many who insist on washing my Mecharonim Bezman Hazeh. So the answer to your question is, some do and some don't. Is that clear? Clarify things for you?
What
does Rabbi do? We wonder what I do. In the Sobolovsky home, some Sobolovsky is washed by Mechorim. Can't believe it like that.
Members women?
What?
Members women?
I don't even know which of my boys do or don't. I know I'm taking such careful attention. I'm not sure what's going on. I can tell you which of the women don't. Yeah.
Remember the Pasuk of Visa Kedoshim? Rishonim also quotes
Siyadechem
Kodesh, is that the same thing?
Siyadechem Kodesh, Shivarach, Chassidim quote that pasuk. Rishonim quote. Chassidim quote that pasuk. Siyadechem Kodesh, Shivarach, Hashem. My mother still says that every time she washes. My mother, Leonor, she just turned 90. So she, every time she washes the Sidayim, she still says with a Galatiana accent. She grew up in the Bronx. She didn't grow up in Poland. But her parents were Galatiana. So she still says, I can still hear her mumbling on the rhythm. Siyadechem, not su. Siyadechem Kodesh, Shivarach, Yes, Hashem. A lot of people, they say it after they wash before they make the bracha, which according to some is the Shabbat Hefzer. According to everybody, probably is, yeah.
Especially in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of houses also, like, they skip over, the women don't do Mayim
HaKodesh. Yeah, that's a bit of Mayim Yisrael, is that the men do the women, yeah.
Is it not
Sakana
for them?
Is what?
Is it not Sakana for them?
I guess the snakes didn't start up with the women's. I don't know. They didn't have my machstomas on them. I don't know. The women ate with forks. That's the old days. The women ate with their hands. I don't know. I once, if I remember correctly, I should probably take us off the record, but okay. I remember I was once on a date and finished the meal and the girl got up to wash my machron. So she said that her rabbin told that girls have to wash my machron also. He said, your Rebbetzin is correct, but we didn't go on a second date. The fire was not the reason why. Okay. Okay, we should give a shiur on all of Hilchos Brachos on dates. We can talk about barriers, talk about my macaronim, a lot of that stuff. All right. Okay, back to that story. So whether or not you're washing Mayim HaCharonim today is a question, but Bizman HaChazal, they're for sure washing, and therefore the cutoff point only is Mayim HaCharonim. So if you just close the Gemara on Brachas Daf Mem Beis, you get the impression that there is the only cutoff point, that's all there is right no more. There is no other way to really formally finish a meal without the washing of Mayim HaCharonim. And then all of a sudden we open up Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, on Daf Kuf Gimel Mem Aleph. It's a fascinating Gemara on so many different fronts. It would be so gabalic. I think I should take like a project of a Pesach. We have time. Learn the sugyas in Arab Pesachim. There are so many bracha sugyas. So many things we've been. It's mamash goes hand in hand, but so many things that we've been learning. So the Gemara in the second of the Ma'ar Mekomos tells us the following story on Kuf Gimel and Aleph. The Rav Brunner Rav Chanan al Tamina de Rav Havu Yasu Besudasa. So Rav Brunner Rav Chanan al two Tamina with Rav were sitting together at a meal. Koya Lai Rav Yeva Saba. Rav Yeva Saba was the Shabbos. He was the waiter at the meal. Amrulei, they said to him, Havla v'nivrach. They said, all right, Shon, let's get ready. It's time to, the meal's over. It's time to bench. L'sof Amrulei, after they said that, they changed their mind and said, you know what, Havla v'nishti, you know, bring another cup of wine just before we bench, we have something else to drink. So Amrulei, who? So Yeva Saba, the waiter was the Talmid Chacham. Yeva Saba said to them, Hachi Amarav, Keva the Amrisu Havlon Venivrich, Itzru Lchulamishte. So he said that, no, Rav said that once you say the magic words Havlon Venivrich, let's get ready to bench, so you can no longer drink. You're not permitted to drink. Why is that my timer? Tiaschisu dataychu. Because you were Messiah Das from the Bracha. So in your mind, the Bracha ended. This is eerily familiar to Arsugya. It means there are different things that are happening that are ending off the bracha. Before we started today's shiur, we had no idea there's such a thing called the Masiach Taita Min HaBracha. But you know what? Guess what? There is such a concept, Masiach Das Min HaBracha. The bracha gets lost in the shuffle. So one of the things that creates that Heschadas of the Vyei B'Sab in the name of Rav was the recitation of Havlam V'Nivrach. Now what's also not clear in this Gemara? So you lost the bracha Rishayna, okay. Can you drink again al smach a new bracha, or somehow for some deep dark secret of reason you have to bench first and then worry about making new bracha later? Unclear in this Gemara also. It's the same lack of clarity we had back in bracha, the same ambiguity in Maseches Pesach. But one thing is clear, that there exists this concept of a hesek hadas of the suda that will at least for sure necessitate at least chosh a bracha rishayna. But what is it that triggers the bracha rishayna? Amiras havlon benavarech. Now, wait a second. That should set up some alarm bells in our mind. Because we thought that the Gemara came to a conclusion in Brachas Daf Mem Beis, for Leisach Zechor HaNishmaitzeh, that all the other earlier points of ending a meal, such as just deciding you're done, removing the tables, all the above, none of that really matters. The only thing, the absolute chaykel yavor deadline of the meal where Hezchadas kicks in is washing my mechronim. And here, the Gemara Maseches Pesachim is talking a different language. When is any mechronim? Versus the Miris Havu v'Nivrach. So how does it make sense of these two Gemaras? Is this a machlokes? Are the two Gemaras supposed to be read complementing one another, contradicting one another? What's going on in these two sugyas? So comes Tosfos and our sugya and doesn't lose too much sleep over this. Tosfos on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Tosfos writes Techtis Dan Berocha. That's the maskon of our Gemara. The Hilchach says Tosfos. Once a person washes my mecharonim, the game is over. Again, we don't know what that also means exactly, but the din ves chadas kicked in. And says Tosfos without batting an eyelash. So Tosfos, by the way, you should just know that there's another process, another activity that can also trigger a hesek chadas, and that is the mere recitation of the words. Three matches, havel v'nivrach. Let's bench. Bring out the benchers. You want to call it shamalas today, whatever you want to call it. Let's bench, guys. That also qualifies as a hezchadas. So Tosfos, without even explaining, without even asking the kashas, Tosfos just simply learned that when our Gemara says, the following, the Gemara did not mean to give an absolutely conclusive list of all things that are hezchadas. The Gemara just meant simply to give a refutation, all the things that until now we thought were Hesachadas. We thought Gamas Uda, we thought maybe Salah Kasus Shulchan, we thought maybe Shemen, all the above. The Gemara says none of that is right. What is right, my Mechorim? Is there anything else that's right? Yeah, when Daf Yomi gets the Psachim in a couple of months from now, you'll figure out what the other thing is. And what's the other thing? Amir is Havel V'Nivarech. So Tosfos doesn't even call it a Machlag, so he says they're both right. Just because the Gemara is talking one language here, another language here, they're both correct. Both of those are late enough in the game to be called Hezchadas. So the Gemara is rejecting the earlier stages, but the very, very late stages of either Mayim Acharonim or Namir Yisrael Nevarach do, in fact, equally cause the trigger of Hezchadas.
Doesn't the Gemara Mesachim saying that your Mesiyah Thas and the Bracha imply that if you were to make a new Bracha, it would be totally okay to drink?
We got a lot of work to do on that. Okay. A lot of work to do on that. That's the second half of this. So far, so good. We have Tosfos. Because Tosfos is looking at the world of these two sugyas as complementary rather than contradictory. Now Tosfos throws another question as a curveball. Tosfos Pesachim. You can see that Tosfos had Brachos Pesachim on the table together. So comes Tosfos in Maseches Pesachim and asks the following kasha. Fourth Rambam comes. Kevel of Havel Nivrach Itzel Mishtei. The mere saying of Havel Nivrach is the end of the game. That's it. The whistle blew. The game is over. With Amir Savla from Nevarich. You won't believe it. We thought we finished the sugya of Yanei HaMelech. Remember him? What's chus? Yanei HaMelech of the Ritzach. What's chus we get from that suda? How much tayrus do we have? Which lom do we have from that suda? The prayer gibush ochel gabi Yanei Malchut to come a man yoivlan gav the Mevarich lon. So remember the story? That was the chronology of the story, the timeline. So Yanai and his chevra make it this big suda, and the queen sitting there, Shlom Tzina Malka, and the meal's over, they want to find something to bench for them. So what do they say? Yanai starts telling me, anyone here know how to bench? Nobody answers the, you know why? Because they killed all the people who knew how to read Hebrew, all the people who knew how to bench, so they killed them. So he had a bunch of Amaratim, big thugs of Yanai and his chevra over there. So nobody knew how to bench. But by looking around and asking for benching, listen to this. It's unbelievable. You got to read this Tosfos. You got the thugs sitting and eating fresco. The most Rishonim fressing to the heart's delight. According to Bahag, they were on a diet. But according to most Rishonim, they were eating mamish kedei svia. And you have Yanai the Ritzach, number one. You have all the guys on his team. You have this poor wife, Shlom Tzina Malka, this Beis Yaakov girl sitting in the corner saying, tell him or something, trying to remember, how did I end up in this mess? And she's got her brother, Shimon Shetach, the guy sitting and learning in Kailo for the last 80 years, he's hiding in a cave, hiding for his life. And Yanni announces, who are we going to be chabit with Grace after meals? Who Who's going to lead the Birkat HaMazon? Who's going to lead the bench? I didn't mean to change that for us for that. That was a slip. I didn't mean to. You know, like the, you know those Pash Mitzera books? You know? You just got to close it for. This got to close. Pashas Mitzera. So the bottom line is Yana and the thugs are looking around for something to leave the benching. So Zog Taisus. Taisus sitting 800 years after Yana's festive meal and analyzing. Oh, when Yana is looking around for who's going to leave the benching, Apidin, what is that? That's an Amiras what? Havavarach. And therefore, Apidin, once Amiras Havavarach took place, what halacha now kicks in? No one can eat anymore. Taisus just said. Because we pass and Amir Savach Havarach is the equivalent of Mayim Acharenim. Just as Mayim Acharenim, you can't eat. You can't eat. Maybe with a bracha, maybe, yeah, I don't know yet. But you can't eat right now. Right now, by Sheol Shom, you can't eat. So now, Tosha says, now that's the rest of the story. So what happened? The end of the story. Heichi mitztarif sui marim Shimon Shetach. Shimon Shetach is finally brought in. Shlom Tzir HaMalka convinces Yana not to kill him. So he comes into the Suda, and they ask him to lead the benching. So what should Ben Shetach say? Who remembers? What should Ben Shetach say? I can't lead the benching. Why? Hey, Ivrich! And Misha, Nevarach, Shachal, Yani, the Chaverov. So what should Ben Shetach do? He takes the cup of wine they gave him to lead the benching. What does he do with the cup of wine? He drinks it and says, oh, now I can lead the benching. So what does that mean, now I can lead the benching? Now, he became Mitzuraf to their what? To their Suda, to their Zimun. Now he's part of the Zimun. Kol's body wasn't part of the Zimun. He was an outsider, he was a stranger, he can't leave the bench. But once he drinks his cup of wine, now we all know we don't pass like Shimon Rishach, because we hold you need more than that. What do we need? To be Baitzi, you need Hamaitzi, to be Baitzi, because I, right, we learned about that. But Lefi, the I don't want to say the mistaken view, but that's the Gemara says, the incorrect halacha view of Shimon Shetach, that Yayin does the trick. So Yayin is a mitzdarif. Fractais Akasha, how did Yayin be a mitzdarif? The Gemara says, in Maseches Brachos, the following, the Gemara tells us the story. The Ha'amin in the air about Pirkin is a mistake. It's not Pesachim Daf Mem Zayin. It's supposed to be what? Brachos Mem Zayin. What's the difference? The Rav Shmuel of Yasim is Hudoso. Rav Shmuel once eating a meal. All the us of Sir Bachia came to join them. Right? Two Gedoyim were eating lunch together, and then Sir Bachia comes in. Have a Kamesar V'Ochel. So he sits down quickly, starts to gobble up his sandwich. So they're wondering, why is he rushing to eat so fast? So Amrulay, they said, by Daitech, it's the Rufi Bahadon. He said, obviously you're coming to eat quickly because you want to join, make a Zimun. You don't want us to have to wait for you. You want to reach your bench together with a Zimun. Ananachlinon. So they said, we've finished eating already. You can't join us. The game's over. So at the end of the day, what does the Gemara say? Everyone looked up the Gemara. At the end of the day, the Gemara says, no. He really could join them. You know why? Because they weren't really done. Even though they thought they were done, but if they would have brought dessert, they would have still eaten some dessert. So the Gemara says that in order to be star for Zimun, to be part of the Chabura, either you're literally still eating, or you're figuratively still eating. You would still be eating. Let's say I finished the meal, I'm sitting around with Shmuzik Shabbos afternoon. You know what it's all like. Come on, we had our gefilte fish, we had our cholent, we had our chicken, we had our kugel, and everything. We're sitting around. The meal's kind of over. The two guys are eating together. You know, we're schmoozing, catching up on the different Torah of the week. Yeah, of course. You know, they're talking, we're schmoozing. And a third guy comes in, and he says, oh, man, I want to go wash. I want to join the bench for Zibin 5 minutes from now. Does that work? So what does the Gemara say? It depends on what? The Gemara says, if they would bring in dessert right now, would you eat it? If they bring out dessert now, then the meal's open. So, come on. If they brought out some good ice cream and cake, we wouldn't eat that. I wouldn't eat it. So therefore, the Gemara says the third guy is mistarf together with them. Vice versa, that what if I wouldn't eat the dessert? I'm stuffed to the gills. I really, really wouldn't eat the dessert. Then I'm not mistarf. So what's the kasha? Once you said havlam v'nevarech, you can't eat anymore. You're not allowed to eat anymore. The game's over. If the game's over, so how in the world could Shimon Shetach come riding in on a white horse and join the chabur and be meitzes and benching? It's not shayach. Shimon Shetach. The whole story should be shared. It doesn't make any sense. So says Taisus, once we discovered that there's a sugim psachim on Kuv Gimel that says that Amiris Havlam V'Nevarach is a mafsik of the Suda, so that means you're not eating after that point. So how in the world could the Gemara have a Havlam V'Nevarach Shubh Shadach and join us? That's Taisus' kasha. Everyone have the kasha? So you know what Taisus says? The kasha better than the Terence? Yes, the love of him in Nosam, who do you have the garment? You should see my picture of the size of it. What does this say? He made a mistake. We should like Aloha. And don't feel bad. Shimon Shetach was the Nasi Yisrael. What do you mean? The Golish Megdalim. The Gedali Ador. Shimon Ben Shetach. Golim and Rabban Shmon. It says in Igeres Rav Shura Gaon. They asked Rav Shura Gaon, how come in the early Tanoim, they weren't called Rebbe? What is it called? Rebbe Hill or Rebbe Shammai? Rebbe Shimon Ben Shetach. Rabbi Yehuda Ben Tavai. Rabbi Shmai. Rabbi Avtaya. They weren't called Rebbe. Why weren't they called Rebbe? Why are they just called their name? So Shura Gaon says that the greatest of the greatest, the Chachamim, didn't have any titles. Golom and Rabbim Shimon. Says their name spoke volumes about them. Person is not such a great. You have to add a little bit more titles to them. They have to beef it up a little bit. Marina, Rabbeinu, Rabbi Shkobin, Agoyla, you know, God Lador, you know, more Agoyla. A person is Hillel. Hillel is Hillel. Just say Hillel, you know who you're talking about. Just say Shimon Shetach, you know who you're talking about. Go to Rabbi Shimon. What's the mocha for that? Igeres Shura Gaon. Says that the mocha is a pasuk in Chumash. The pasuk in the beginning of Bereishis speaks about the four rivers that came out of Gan Eden. So it introduces the rivers and says, what's the first river? Pishon. What does it say about Pishon? Oh, God, Zov, Gicho, Chideka, all these gewaltige accolades about all these wonderful things that these rivers are known for. And what is it about the fourth river? Manahar Harvi'i Hupras. It was the Har Pras. Why was it called Har Pras? Because it was Nikra Shem Eretz Yisrael. It was greater than all the other rivers. You don't have to talk about Har Pras. Everybody knows the Har Pras is the Har Pras. Everyone knows. It's the greatest of all the rivers. You don't have to introduce it with a drum roll, Ya'amoid, and Har Pras, Rabbi Shekhov, the Har Pras, Hashem Eretz Yisrael, it's the greatest. What's Chidekel? What's that? That was a garnish from garnish. Pishon, Gichon, that's a garnish river. It's got to make them feel good. So you say they have gold, they have silver, they have all kind of funny things. I read for us. God will rap and shmon. We have to close it again. Okay. A certain amount of that's going to be recorded, right? It's totally off, right? Yeah. Between friends. Okay. Back to that story. So Tosus is trying to figure out what is going on with Shimon Shetach. Here, Shimon Shetach is being mitzdarf to the Chabura, leading the benching, no less. And according to what Tosfos just sized up the Gemara in Sochim, he wasn't even allowed to join this Chabura anymore because the Chabura is over, because they finished, because they said half of it of Aruch. So Tosfos says, you're talking right. Shimon Shetach was not correct in what he did. And says Tosfos, then don't feel so bad that we're coming down hard on Shimon Shetach. The Gemara anyway says he wasn't correct. Remember, the Gemara ultimately criticized Shimon Shetach and said he had this Chodesh to Geshita. What did he say? What does Shimon Shetach hold? He said, you don't need a kazayas. A cup of wine is good enough. And the Gemara says, who do you have the garment of the oven? He was l'shitasai. So Tosfos says, if he was not right about that, he was not right about this also. Well, that's quite an answer to the kasha. But Tosfos says, stop. What do you want from Tosfos? Tosfos says, the Gemara says that after Amiris Avraham Baruch, the game's over. The game's over. The Gemara in Baruch Stavim Zayin says, once the game's over, you can't join the Chabura.
Isn't Tosfos invokes Apopishias and Motzi? Isn't the whole point of that you don't need to be like a part of the Suda?
No, that means Midaraisa. I mean, the Raisa, Tosfos said, the whole Kasha was never Kasha in the first place. But Tosfos says, but Midarabana, they were Misaka, that you have to be part of the Suda. Otherwise, you can't say Shachal Mishaloi. So Shimon Shetach had that very, very Mechunishtik way of saying Shachal Mishaloi, even a cup of wine is good enough, and nobody else held like that. So now Tosfos is adding another kinesh to the story. Tosfos is saying, oh, by the way, Shimon Shetach was wrong for another reason, because he wasn't even part of the Chabur. He was like a Legamrin outsider. If an outsider stam comes and there's no Shaykh as this Chabur, he also can't lead your invention.
Does Tosfos believe that the Gemara says that when he says Legamrin, that it also means that he was...
I don't know if Tosfos means that. I think Gemara wasn't talking about that topic. So Tosfos is just saying that don't be taken aback. Don't throw a fit if you think that I'm criticizing Shimon Shetach. The Amorim themselves criticized Shimon Shetach. They criticized him. They held him. We should like Halacha. Quite a Tosfos. You see a Tosfos like this, you get the impression someone's got to argue with this Tosfos. You know, in your gut, in your blood, you feel that. Come on, there's no way that every Rishon is going to say this Pshat. There's got to be another Pshat. What's going on? What prompted Tosfos' problem in the first place? Because they took that Gemara and Brachas very seriously. They put up on a pedestal that statement about Havlam and Nevarich, and they said that's exactly what's going on in Agam. It's the same thing. It's the same kind of a sugya. Is it really? Is the Gemara Pesachim talking about the same topic as the Gemara Brachos talking about anything? There's a huge difference. Maybe. What's the huge difference? Yeah, what's in the menu? What are we talking about? We're creating a Heschadas vis-a-vis the Bracha of Bar Priya Gofen, or we're creating a Heschadas vis-a-vis the Bracha of Hamoitzi. So whereas Taisus in both in Brachas and in Pesachim assumes the Davar Pashut, it's the same topic. What's the difference what the Bracha is? It's an objective question. Yes, Chadas, this is Chadas. So if the Gemara is given criterion one, it carries over. There's no difference in halacha. I mean, it's a different bracha. That's cute, but there's no real difference. So wait a second. That pedal, maybe there is a difference. So that's what Tamid Rav Eniyana said. Tamid Rav Eniyana said the whole sugya, the two sugyas are not the same. Says Rav Eniyana, the fifth of Ramah comes, Ela kos bashal not the yellow of bracha, mati ochel abishalin yayin, afopi. Even though the Yain, it's different. Kevin Shasilik died to Melech of Amma Hamlin of Rach, Osul Lish, Tasa Jivarach, in the past, in a cane. So Rabbi Yain is saying what Taisus refused to say. The Yain and the past are different from one another. Once you say that, the Yain and past have different criteria to what constitutes a Silik or what constitutes a Chadas, then which Kasha just fell by the wayside? Says Kasha Meshuv Mechetach. There is no halacha that Havlan Mavarach is a ma'akev in Birchas Adloiti. There is no din that creates as chadas in Birchas. There's no such halacha. You made it up. There's no such thing, says Tehle Tamina Radian. And therefore, the Gemara in Brachas is kibshutai. The Gemara did not criticize. Shimon Shadach was 100% right. He was not correct lahalacha about that one akud of equating a yayin as enough to be ma'itzi someone in Birchas Adloiti. Okay, so Zayin's Meichel Zayin Shimon Shadach. The Gemara says, who do you have the guy with you? But okay, so we're not going to get losers sleep over that. But to say that Shem Meshach was wrong on another count that doesn't appear in the Gemara, Tabir Rav Eniyana, somebody told him. Mehecha Teis, he was wrong. He was 100% right. There's no Gemara that says that Havlan V'Nevarech is a Ma'akiv, is a Mesiach Das from Eichel, it's a Mesiach Das from Yayin. So Tabir Rav Eniyana have the upper hand on Taisus because they don't have to stick Shem Meshach into a problem. What's the problem with Tabir Rav Eniyana? What's the conceptual problem? It's great in terms of Shem Meshach saga, but what's it very, very difficult? What?
Just no. Conceptual.
Why should be a difference? Look, Mechatez is a difference between. Remember when who used to be a Asher Shirai, right? What was his favorite cash always? Mechatez. So last year, anytime I had anything to say, Mechatez. Like, why should it be that way? Mechatez, it should be true. So we have to try to figure out why it's Taisei. Why should that be? What's the Bira Dovin's to Tamir Rabbeinu Yehuda? So I think a little bit about it tomorrow, and then open from tomorrow. We'll have to get to the real thrust of the sugya. Anyway, we've been talking a lot about the details. What is Gemara? Nish Gemara? There's a fundamental question glaring at us in the sugya. What is that? Even if there is Gemara, therefore what? Therefore you can't drink. Therefore you can't eat. Therefore you have to make a new bracha. Like, what happens when you have a Gemara? So we've been spending time figuring out what the Gemara is. Open from tomorrow. We're going to move over, transition to what happened there. Okay, I have to sadly say we can't talk Mincha, guys. It's a little bit too early, so we're entering to the summer mode.